Well, I'm excited that all of you are here. We have been going through the book of James, and it's been a great time. We know James is a man. James is a book in God's word that pulls no punches. But as we've continued through the book of James, we are in James chapter 2, but we will not be in James chapter 2 this evening. We are going to take a break, and we are going to do something special. Because Halloween is next week, we decided that we wanted to bless you guys. We've got some candy. So at the end of service, once the service is over, we'll give you guys some bags. There's like a candy bar type of thing where you can go and fill up those bags with candy. We're going to end a little earlier tonight so you can eat your candy and fellowship with others. So we're calling it Fat Fellowship, because you're going to get fat while you fellowship, and that's okay, because no one wants to get fat alone, so this is good. But you have that to look forward to. But I thought, as we are going to be able to share in this fellowship, share with this candy, I thought, let's take a break. Let's really spend some time, and let's do communion. We haven't done communion in a while as a group of believers, so we're going to take part in communion. So take a break from James, go into communion, but we're still going to look at communion through God's word. So if you would open up your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand up, and the most handsome man named Jimmy Adams in the room will go around and give you a Bible. Keep your hand up, hand up, hand up. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Does everyone know what chapter we're in?
Yes. 11.
Okay. Seven of you. It's great. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, I'm not there. Okay. We'll wait for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 11. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
All right. Everyone have a Bible? Everyone have a Bible open or a Bible app open? Raise your hand if you got your Bible or your Bible app open. That's right. You're like, I got my Bible app open. Awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be looking at verse 23 first. But before we go into this, if you're taking note, and I encourage you to take note, we provide note paper in the back if you would like. But if you're taking note, the title of this message or the title of this communion meal we're going to take is No Ordinary Meal. So we're coming, and the title is No Ordinary Meal, because this communion meal that we take part in is no ordinary meal, as God's word is going to show us. Awesome. I have some good news for all of you. Last week, I don't know if you remember, but last week I asked you if you could remember, if you could write it down, or if you could do anything for me through the week. It was to pray, because we were going into Hesperia High School today. We got about 35 pizzas, bought them, went into Hesperia High School, gathered into a classroom where we had invited for the last month the whole school to come and join us into Christian Club, and we had probably about 100 kids try to squeeze into this classroom. And so all 100 didn't fit. We ended up having about 60 inside and 30 listening outside, all eating pizza. And the great thing is this, as you guys prayed, hopefully you remembered. If you didn't, then you kind of lose part in the blessing a little bit. But still, if you prayed, God was faithful to answer your prayers, because as we preached the gospel, I sat there and I preached the gospel, and I'm sharing the gospel in this room. And I said, hey, if you want to receive Jesus, stand to your feet. And I want to tell you something amazing. Not 10 people stood up, not 20, not 30, 40 kids stood up. 40 kids stood up to their feet as I said, hey, do you want Jesus? Make a commitment to Jesus. Yes, awesome. Praise the Lord for that. And I am so excited for this. It was an amazing moment, because as they're standing there, I said, hey, pray this prayer with me. And you should have heard that prayer. It was like they were loud about it. They were excited for it. They were hungry for it. So 40 believers, 40 high schoolers here in the high desert came to Jesus today. Praise the Lord for that. I am so excited. Thank you for praying. And now we want to get to God's word. So God's doing some great things here in the high desert. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Someone say, the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" Excuse me, "In my blood. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, we thank you that you are God. Lord, we thank you that you demonstrated your own love for us in your death upon the cross for us. Lord, we thank you that we are a group of high school students, and we are not related to each other because we're the same age or because we're in the same four-year stretch of school. But Lord, we're united together because Jesus died for every single one of us. And so Lord, it's my heart, it's my prayer, as it is your heart and your prayer, that we would all be saved, that we would all come to the realization that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And so Lord, I pray that if there's any in our midst who doesn't claim to be a Christian, who doesn't humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, who doesn't confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, I pray that tonight they would do so. And Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing here. I thank you that, Lord, you have saved kids in this youth group. I thank you, Lord, that you have encouraged believers in this youth group. I thank you, Lord, that you've sent believers from this youth group who have graduated into other parts of the body of Christ, whether here at this church or at other churches. Lord, you're using them. So Lord, you're doing great things. And so, Lord, it's our heart to come before you tonight and to worship you at the table, to remember where it all started, to remember where the great love of Jesus was demonstrated, to remember where the wrath of God was poured out, so that way we could have forgiveness and mercy and newness of life. So, Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified in our gathering. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So like I said, what I want to do tonight is something a little different. I want to take some time and I want to look at God's word and examine God's word. I want to take part in communion, but I also want to save some time to where we can fellowship with each other afterwards. So this will be kind of a shorter teaching, but I want to devote some time, this precious time that we have together, to remembering the cross. And this time is to glorify and remember our Savior Jesus. You know, God told us, Jesus commanded the disciples, as much as you do this in remembrance of me. Come to the table often. I mean, it would be great if we came to the table every day, but we don't have the time or aren't able to do that. But it's good for us to come as regularly as often and remember what Jesus has done. It's to glorify him. It's to remember him. It's to acknowledge him as Savior. It's to savor him. I mean, especially in this day and age. I don't know what happens on a regular basis for all of you, but when you go to school and then work and then come home and do chores and then, you know, you got to play your Fortnite because, you got to have that time, right? And so you go through all of these different things in life and all of a sudden it's like you don't remember Jesus anymore. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, he's not as important as he once was a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, a year ago. And so what's great about this communion meal is we come back. We take some time and we say, Jesus, I'm going to put you back first because maybe I've lost that for a moment. But we savor him. We realize that tonight it's because of the cross that my past is forgiven, my present is redeemed, my future is secure. That's why we come to the table. To remind ourselves of that. It's because of the cross that we devote ourselves to worshiping Jesus. We've gathered in here, every single youth group is a worship service. I know sometimes we call it a worship night when we have the band up here the whole evening and we worship, but really every single youth group gathering is a worship night. We worship God through fellowship. We worship God through the song. We worship God through the preaching and the teaching of his word. It's because of the cross we do that. And what's great about this worship is the communion table, this communion meal, is the most natural place of worship for us as believers. I like how it's been said in the past. It's been said this way: to him that takes it into his hands and upon his lips with faith and love, it is a means not only of memory, but of contact with Jesus. I know I can speak from experience. There's times in my life where I lose contact with Jesus. And, you know, our society loves things that are tangible. We want to feel it. We want to see it. We want to touch it. We want to examine it. And this communion meal is amazing because we have some tangible elements where we can actually see Jesus and experience him and touch him and contact him. Now, to the non-believer, to those of us who are not Christians, this communion meal is nothing. It's just a cracker and a little tiny cup of juice. It doesn't mean much. But to us who are believers, we understand that this is the way into Jesus' presence. And what a great thing that is, that we can come into the presence of Jesus tonight. That wherever we're at in life, whether we're in a place of discouragement, whether we're in a place of fear, whether we're in a place of joy, whether we're in a place of being unsatisfied with the direction of our life, we can, no matter where we are at, we can come into this presence of Jesus through this meal. I believe Spurgeon's one of my favorite all-time preachers in life, but Spurgeon says it best when explaining the reason why we have this bread and this juice. Notice what he says. He says this: never mind the bread and the juice unless you can use them as people often use their reading glasses. What do they use them for? To look at? No, to look through them. So use the bread and the juice as a pair of reading glasses. Look through them and do not be satisfied until you can say, yes, yes, I can see the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Maybe for you tonight, you're like, I cannot see God. I cannot see him working in my life. I don't hear his voice right now. I don't understand where he is at. There's no presence of the living God in my life. And I've been struggling with that, Daniel. I've been struggling with trying to see where God is at. Well, tonight you're going to have the bread. You're going to have the juice. And through these elements, you can look at Jesus. Examine him. And the reality is this. We have to come to a place where within our hearts, as we come to this meal, as we come to this table, we have to examine these elements and not be satisfied until we see Jesus. Not be satisfied until we see that he died on the cross for us. Not be satisfied until we see the forgiveness he gives to us. But tonight, before we really take part in this meal, I want to give you four ways that we can see Jesus through these elements. Four ways that we see in this text. It's four ways that you can look at the cracker, four ways you can look at the juice, and you can see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, number one, what we see here is this. Number one, we need to look back. Number one, we look back. I want to read to you this scripture in verse 23. Start in verse 23 once again. It says this: for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You see, when Jesus broke this bread, I don't know if you've ever done that before. I don't know if you've ever had bread. Like, I remember growing up, we had spaghetti a lot. With spaghetti so many times, and I realized that as I became an adult, spaghetti is a really cheap meal. That's probably why we had it a lot. It's a cheap, good meal. But we had spaghetti a lot, and I remember the bread would be at the center of the table, and I remember breaking that bread. And so picture Jesus. He takes the bread, and, you know, he's Jesus, so everyone has their attention on him. I mean, he's the Savior. He's the king of the whole entire world. He's the creator of the universe. I'm pretty sure he garnered some attention. And so he takes this bread and he breaks it. Notice what he says. He says, do this in remembrance of me. As you partake of this, do this in remembrance of me. You know, as we partake of communion tonight, and any time that we ever partake of communion, we have to look back. This is a meal where we look back into the past. And I know many psychologists or many people go, don't look back. Don't look back into the past. Don't worry about your past. Continue moving forward. But really, the communion meal is a meal where we have to look back. There's always a looking back. And what helps us look back is this cracker or the bread. And the reason why it helps us look back is it helps us reflect upon the body of Jesus, to look back upon the body. You see, what was great about the apostles, the disciples, those who lived in Jesus' days, they could actually remember Jesus' broken body. They could remember when he was crucified on the cross because they saw it with their own eyes. That's why in Scripture, you'll see the disciples, they said, remember to preach what we have seen with our own eyes. We saw Jesus die. We saw him rise from the grave. And so they saw it. We don't have that luxury. But we have this cracker. We have this bread that reminds us. It reminds us of what? Well, the cracker, which is broken, it reminds us of how Jesus' body was broken for us. You're going to receive a little cracker. It's going to be broken cracker. It's not a full cracker. It's broken like Jesus' body was broken for us. You see, the cracker also is striped. You may, depending on what kind of piece of cracker you get, you may see a little bit of a stripe on it. And it reminds us, for those of us who were not there physically, it reminds us that Jesus, his body was striped. It was whipped for you and for me. You see, the cracker is also pierced. There's holes through it, and it reminds us, it helps us to see that Jesus' body was pierced for us. He was nailed to the cross, his hands and his feet. The cracker is also unleavened, which symbolizes this. Jesus was the sinless Savior. There was no fault found in him at all. You see, this communion table is so precious to us because we were not there. It's so precious to us because it helps us to share in what the early church had, which was actually seeing it, and we can actually see this cracker and go, this is Jesus's body. This is the reminder I need to help me look back when I wasn't there. But also, we have to understand this. We look back and we see Jesus's body, but we need to look back at our past. And this is where it gets maybe a little messy. This is where it gets a little sad, but we have to look back at our past failures. We have to look back at our past mistakes. We have to look back and remember that we fell short of the glory of God. You see, so many times within the Christian church, so many times within youth group, so many times as Christians, we forget how bad we were and we forget how bad we are. And so we must look back. We have to look back into the past and remember the things that we have done. And what happens is this, we take this broken, this striped, and this pierced cracker, and we see the Savior who was broken and striped and pierced for me. And notice what happens here. What happens is this. This is amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us this. For he made him who knew no sin be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, we look back and remember that at one point, it was not righteousness that we were declared. It was sinner. It was condemned. Our gravestone was written. It was you sinned, and you're deserving of death, and you're deserving of hell. And we have to look back at that when we come to this meal. And if we remember that Jesus broke his body for us, we not only look back, but now we move forward. So number one, we look back. Number two, we look to the present. So we have to look back, but number two, we have to look to the present. Look at verse 25 in your Bible. It says this, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. I love this. I love the cup, not just because it cleanses my palate when I have that dry cracker in my mouth, and everyone knows what we're talking about. You get the juice and you're like, oh, thank the Lord. You're like, because you're sitting there like, and you're trying to sing the song, and you get the juice and you're like, okay, I can sing the rest of the song. So yes, I'm thankful for the juice for that reason. But Jesus took this cup and he says, this is the new covenant. And this is the new covenant. The old way is passing away. This is new. And as much as we need to look in the past, we have to move forward from the past. Because the past shows us what? That we are sinners. That we are destined for hell. Destined for eternal destruction. The past reminds us that we were lost. That we were blind. That we were helpless to save ourselves. And you know what this old covenant did? You know why Jesus is saying there's a new covenant? Well, if there's a new covenant, that means there was an old covenant. And you know what the old covenant did? The old covenant said this. It declared that we could not dwell with God unless we kept his law, unless we had good works. And the problem is this. We didn't keep our end of the bargain. And we know that because we've looked in the past. We didn't keep what God said, which the standard was perfection. I need you to live perfectly. And we look back to the past and go, man, I was pretty messed up. And in fact, I'm messed up pretty much now. We didn't keep our part of the old covenant. So what's great about this new covenant, what's great about this cup is Jesus came and fulfilled what we could not. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the end of the bargain. He says, you know, God puts forth this covenant and he says, hey, you will be my people. I will take care of you. I will love you. All you have to do is obey these 10 commandments. If you do that, you will be my people. And we couldn't do it. And so what Jesus does is Jesus goes, hey, guess what? I'm going to fulfill this old covenant. I'm going to fulfill this old bargain. I'm going to come and I'm going to make that one right. And I give you this cup, this new covenant. I'm going to make it right so that way you can have this new covenant. So Jesus came and fulfilled the law by shedding his blood. And now he's given us a new covenant of what? A covenant of love and grace. A covenant of forgiveness. You see, the cup that we hold in our hands, that we're going to hold into our hands, it helps us to see something that's very precious to us. It helps us to see that in this very moment, we are forgiven. In this very moment, that if I hold the cup in my hands and I have declared Jesus as Lord, that I have confessed my sin and he's been faithful and just to forgive me, that in the very moment that I hold that cup in my hands, it's a reminder that right now I am the forgiven. And that's a great thing because how many times in your life do you fail and mess up and live in what you think is condemnation? God hates me. God doesn't love me. God's disappointed in me. God must be angry at me. But the reality is this, we come and we can sit at the table and we can hold this cup and the cup is a reminder that God loves us and I'm forgiven now. And that's an amazing thing for us because it speaks to what the enemy's trying to do, trying to mess with your mind. You're no good. God is disappointed. God hates you. God wants you to live better. And Jesus comes and says, no, this new covenant, it's grace. It's forgiveness. It's I've taken the wrath. I've taken God's disappointment. And you get this grace and this love. We're no longer under sin, no longer under judgment. But we at this present moment can see the forgiveness of our God through the cup. We not only look back, we not only look to the present, but number three, we look forward. We look forward. Look at verse 26. The Bible says this. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This is amazing. I want to read this again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I want to show you something here within this verse. You see, as often as we come together and eat this meal, the Bible says that we proclaim Jesus' death until he comes. And what's great is this. Oftentimes when we come to a meal, we anticipate a meal. If mom makes our least favorite meal, we anticipate that we're going to be a little grossed out because I don't like that meal. There's an anticipation coming to the meal. If mom makes our favorite meal, there's an anticipation, right? If you know mom is making your favorite meal and you go to school, you're like, yes. There's like, for whatever reason, it can make you just get through the day. You're like, man, I've got an F on my math test, but mom's making that spaghetti, right? Whatever it is, you know, oh man, my girlfriend broke up with me. That's okay. I got spaghetti waiting for me at home. You know, for whatever reason, the world could be falling apart, but you anticipate this meal is going to be so good. And we do the same thing with this meal. But it's not like this. It's not like, I just can't wait for that cracker in my mouth. We honestly don't do that. But you know what we anticipate? As we eat the bread, as we drink the juice, what do we anticipate? We anticipate Jesus coming. We anticipate his return. We anticipate just like what scripture tells us. You see, in Bible times, this is amazing. In Bible times, you know what happened when there was a proposal? You know what happened when a man loved a woman and said, I want to marry her? You know what he did? He went to his father and says, that's the girl that I love. And the fathers get together and they make the arrangement. You know, I'll give you 7 donkeys if you give my son. It's really what it was. And we're like, that's so chauvinistic. I can't believe they did that. But the reality is this. They made the arrangement. And so you know what would happen? The father of the son would tell the son, you have to leave. But I'm engaged. Yes, you have to leave. And you have to leave, and you know what you have to do? You have to go and prepare a place. You have to go build a house. You have to make sure you have all your finances in order. You have to make sure that it's good, that your wife is going to be well taken care of, that you can build a family, that everything is good. And you know what would happen? The father would come and inspect that house. And the father would go and look at the house and say, hey, not quite ready yet. Continue working. It's like, oh man, I want to go marry this woman. I want to go. I'm waiting for her. She's waiting for me. I'm just so ready. I'm ready. Not yet. And finally, the father would come and go, hey, you're good. And you know what would happen? The son would go. And he would go for his bride. He would return for her. He would be reunited with her. They would have a marriage for eternity till death do us part. You see, when we come to this meal, we do the same thing. What has Jesus done for us? Jesus has proposed to us. Jesus has said, hey, I go and prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back. When my father says it's ready, when my father says it's done, guess what? I'm coming for you. And I'm going to marry you and we're going to be together for eternity. We come to this meal anticipating that. We come to this meal going, any moment Jesus could come. Any moment my bridegroom is coming for me. And that may sound weird because you're like, I'm a dude. But the reality is this, you're not going to care. Because Jesus loves you so much and you're going to be in heaven with him. We look forward. We come to this meal and we look forward to it. The final way we look is number 4, we look within. We look within. Look at verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You see, the last thing we must do is a very important thing. You see, we not only take these elements and we examine Jesus and see him, but we have to examine our own hearts. We have to examine where we're at with things. We have to examine maybe this last season of our life. And maybe for some of us who are not believers and we say, I don't believe this God thing. I don't believe this Bible thing. We have to examine because we've never called upon the name of the Lord. We've never examined our hearts and confessed sin. But for those of us who are believers, we have to examine too and we have to see where are we at with Jesus? We examine the strength and the standing in our relationship. Have I been reading? Have I been praying? Have I been growing in fellowship? Have I been coming to church? Have I been serving the Lord? You ask yourselves these questions. You come and even now you need to be doing this because you're going, I'm coming to this table and I need to know, is there anything, Lord, that I need to be made right in? Is there anything, Lord, that I need to confess? Is there anything, Lord, that you've been pressing upon my heart? That you've been trying to reveal to me, and I've gone, no, 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 no. And really tonight you're going, okay, I guess I have to do this. And you're still trying to push it off, and you go, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. But the reality is God's pinpointing something right now. And you don't want to let it go. You don't want to acknowledge it. But we have to examine. We have to examine our hearts. We search our hearts to expose any present sin. And what's great is this, we take a few moments and we come back to our first love. We come back to the Savior who's loved us so much that he's preparing a place for us. Who's loved us so much that he bled and he died upon the cross for us. And we stop chasing after the things that so easily distract us in our busy lives. And remember the one who bore my sin and bore my shame. You see, what's great about this meal is this meal also unites us as believers. It unites us. You see, Jesus, when he first had this meal, he broke of the bread and he took the cup and he raised it up. This is the new covenant. What was he doing? He was eating a meal with all of his disciples. They were all gathered around him. And a meal, especially in that day and age, and even in our day and age, you could say, a meal unites people. And so Jesus was uniting his church, uniting his followers, and saying, eat this meal. When you eat this meal, remember this. Remember that you are my bride. Remember that you are my body. Remember that you are my church. And so part of this examination is this. You may go, I have a personal sin I need to confess and get right in. But we must also examine our standing with other believers. We have to examine and go, is there someone in this room? Is there someone outside of this room in my life that I have mistreated, that I've had bitterness towards, that I have not sought reconciliation with? And tonight I need to do that. That's part of this examination process, because Jesus, he did it with all of his disciples. Jesus did it to unite his people. And so how can we come into a church service, come into the body of Christ, and act like everything's okay with Jesus? I'm remembering Jesus when I take this bread. I'm remembering Jesus when I take this new cup. But the reality is, it appears that everything good is good. With someone else, it's not good. We examine and we ask the Lord to forgive us. And the great thing is this. If you have a sin that you need to confess, you can confess it before the Lord tonight, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you have something that has gone on between you and another person and they're not here, or you're not able to reconcile with them before having this meal, the great thing is this, you can still ask the Lord for forgiveness. And you know what he does? He calls you to go to that person and to reconcile. We got to examine where we're at with Jesus, examine where we are at with others. What's great about this unity, this uniting that we have together, is that all of us are great sinners. I don't know if you realize that. We like to talk about the good things, like, oh, Jesus is forgiveness. Jesus is blood. Jesus is grace. Jesus is substitutionary atonement. There you go, laugh. Substitutionary atonement. There you go, I said it. Curriculum, anyway. We like to talk about the good things. But the reality is the person next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, you know what really unites us together more than anything? Our sin. You know what we all share? Our sin. It may be a different extent of sin. It may be a different type of sin. But the Bible tells us all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And so whether you like it or not, there is a unity with the person next to you. But the crazy thing is this. There is a greater unity when we come to Jesus and confess sin and receive his forgiveness, receive his mercy, receive his grace. There is a deeper bond. You see, sin may bond us in a certain way where we all have a related nature, but love because we're all forgiven, bonds us for all of eternity. And so there's a unifying factor here when we come to the table. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I don't know where you're at with your sin. I don't know where you're at with other people. But we've got to take seriously this call. We've got to take seriously what God has called us to do, what Jesus has called us to do, which is what? As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Tonight we want to partake of this meal, and we want it to unite us together because we're going to have a time of fellowship after. And what good is fellowship if we hate each other? What good is fellowship if we have bitterness in our hearts towards someone? What good is our fellowship if you stay over there and I stay over here? And so we come to this meal because we want to unify our hearts under Christ. And so what we're going to do is we're going to partake of this meal, and we're not going to have worship because John Goodman is up in junior high right now. And so this could be awkward for a second. And so I want to kind of warn you because it's going to be a little silent. So my heart is to help you guys through the awkward. So we're going to have a couple of guys. I'm going to pray. I'll have a couple of guys go around and serve you. We'll all pray during that time. And so as you hear some direction, as you in the front row as you get your bread. What's going to happen is this: you'll take your bread and just bow your head and pray and go before the Lord. I'll end up, as we all get served, I'll end up praying for all of us, and we'll partake of communion. We don't need worship necessarily. It'd be nice, but we can still partake of this meal without worship. So let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is alive. That, Lord, your word ministers to our hearts. That, Lord, your word encourages us. That your word strengthens us, equips us, guides us, gives us hope. And Lord, I ask and pray that tonight, as we've examined your word, that, Lord, we'd come to the table and we'd examine Jesus. Lord, I thank you for this group of high schoolers that desires to do this. That, Lord, they desire to come before you and to remember what you've done for them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in this. That, Lord, you would be here presently with us. That, Lord, you would be faithful to us. And that, Lord, you would worship us as we partake of this meal together, but also together with you. And so, Lord, we get to be just like the disciples. We get to come to this table and have a meal with our Savior, with our Jesus, who is here presently with us. And so, Lord, be with us now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.